welcome to the Roanoke Weekly Podcast for the week of December 3rd. I'm here with Ariel and Xavier this morning. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Team's back together again.
I think we're all feeling a little bit refreshed on a Monday morning, which is a little surprising in some ways. I don't know about Ariel. She's, you know, she's always got more energy than the rest of us anyway.
But, it just sounds like it in my voice. It's my sprightly feminine voice.
Right.
Yeah, let's jump right in.
Yeah, so you guys had an exciting thing over there at the your guys' building on 11th Street last week. They got some coverage. Xavier, tell us a little bit about what you guys got going on.
So we completely opened up the entire building now. There's several different organizations, a couple businesses upstairs. The shop had their grand opening, but now we opened up the 601 Incorporated. That's what they've called it, 601 Incorporated. It's a really cool building if you go inside now. It's all black and white pictures, kind of just like a reflection of, you know, everybody's welcome. And it looks like the area. The pictures represent the area. Mm. The opening was really, really good. A lot of people came out. Great. People shopped. People toured the building. So definitely get down there.
What are the hours and where exactly is it?
So it's right on 601 and 11th.
Okay.
You really can't miss it. They've put up things on the windows with different
and there's
quotes.
There's a big old mural on the side of it too.
Nice. So.
Yeah, there's a big mural on the side on Mormon. You really can't miss it. And my shop is on the Mormon side. There's no way you can miss it. There's quotes and stuff on the windows.
Plus, you can just sense that there's really cool things happening.
Right. Yeah. So I think that the area is completely changing. Even yesterday when I opened up, people were coming down there and they were like, "I've just never been on this street ever, and I've lived in Roanoke for 5 years." So that makes me feel really, really good, and they feel comfortable coming down there. So it's definitely changing.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll have to check it out. That'll be me. Yeah. I've lived in Roanoke for 5 years and haven't. I don't think I've been to that area, so I need to come check it out.
Please do.
Absolutely. All right. On to some robots, local robots.
Yes, who we hope will be staying in their little thing. I have to confess to having a small fear of robots. but there was
It sounds like these robots aren't quite at the taking over humanity
I don't know.
Phase,
there are a lot of quotes in there about how the robots essentially killed people when they failed at things. So,
This was a robotics competition at Virginia Western for high school students that happened recently. And this really great write-up in the Roanoke Times was kind of focusing on the gender dynamics in the high school robotics world, not just the robots themselves, but of course the people who make the robots. So it was a really interesting story, but I love seeing this stuff happen around town, and I don't yet have the fear of the robots like Brad.
Fear of robots.
I feel like it's just a healthy thing at this point. But
right. I have respect for the robots.
I have, that's right. I have great respect for the robots.
But more respect for the kids who are making them.
Yeah, really cool stuff. Sounds like some really fascinating, inventive ways to use some standard stuff that was put in front of them, and then everybody kind of has to do their own thing with it. A lot of area high schools participated. Really interesting the age range, you know, all the way down to 13 years old in these young people were still being able to do really exciting things with these robots. And I think it is also, I really like that they're pointing this out in some ways, that I remember back in math class a long time ago that they told us like 97% was really good. But if you're an engineer and you get 97% right, then a lot of people die.
yeah, that makes sense.
So there's some quotes in here to that extent, like it's great, but you know, like essentially you destroyed everything when you messed up just that little bit.
But the dean of the STEM at Virginia Western mentioned that failure is very important in this world.
Absolutely.
Because that's how you learn.
Yeah.
So they're fostering this group of people to learn how to fail quickly and to make improvements. And it seems like the students are down with all of it. They're just like, they understand that and they're excited to try. So
absolutely.
Really neat.
Well, in news that has kind of been hovering and we kind of all knew, but has it been officially shared at this point, Deschutes Brewery will not be breaking ground in 2019 for their stuff here in Roanoke. All the stuff they're saying is that they continue to plan on doing so. They've kind of exited the initial incentive plan that they had with the city and state and have the potential to go into a new one, but in the meantime have spent $3.2 million of their own money to buy the land outright, which they're viewing as a gesture of goodwill to say, that, hey, we are still going to be there. But obviously there's still a lot of concern and frustration in our community about this. But I don't know.
Right, yeah. I think, you know, the landscape seems like to me the craft brewing landscape is very quickly changing. And so folks like Deschutes are having to respond to the changes in the market mm-hmm. and the industry in general while making this big plan. So I just remember when in 2016 they announced they were coming here, 2019 felt so far away.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe we're staring it down right now.
That's very true.
Wow. So that time flew by. But I hope they stick around, you know. Jobs, et cetera.
Yeah.
It'd be great to have them.
When you say it's changing, what do you mean?
The craft brewing mm-hmm. landscape. Just, you know, I mean, I am not an economist about this stuff, but certainly seems like there was a bit of a bubble where craft beer was growing so quickly mm-hmm. and the breweries themselves were growing quickly. And I just don't know if the consumer industry side has kept up with it as much as it's grown. So it might have plateaued a little bit. I don't know. This is all just assumption. But if it didn't grow at the same rate as it was back in 2015, 2016 timeframe, you know, that might have played a little bit of a part mm-hmm. in this. Because we certainly saw it grow so quickly, just in Roanoke. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many breweries did we have pop up in the past 3 years?
It's like five.
Yeah. Local.
There's a report here in the that says that it's been growing at double digit rate for several years. Last year in 2017, it had dropped to 5%. And this, everyone seems to believe that it's still going to continue growing, but at a much more modest pace than it had been. All right, so that means that mm-hmm. a lot of the folks that have West Coast focus are focused on the West Coast. They're pulling back in some ways on their East Coast operations, including. And there's a one in Virginia Beach, Green Flash, that closed their operation entirely to focus on their West Coast stuff. So, I think it's still positive. I am not one of the folks that thinks they're not coming, but there certainly are enough of those folks around town that I think we're headed in that direction. So
yeah, but if Deschutes is great at anything, they've always been a huge player in the community ever since they announced, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they'll keep talking and still be a part of things as they move forward. And make sure that we're all the citizens are well informed and well beered from their tasting room downtown. So,
and we should note that anytime Deschutes wants to make an announcement that we are available, one or two free beers, and we'd be happy to share whatever announcement you want to make. But in the meantime, while we wait for that refreshment, I'm really happy to see this next story, which is that. The historical marker for Oliver Hill has officially gone in at this point. And to make matters even cooler, they're going to rename the city courthouse mm-hmm. after him, which is phenomenal. It came as a surprise, I think, to everybody, which was really cool way for that to kind of come about. But for those of you that don't know about Oliver Hill, you should look him up. Fantastic. Xavier, you're, I think, the only one of us that grew up in the area here. Did you guys learn about Oliver Hill?
No. Even growing up in the area, you don't learn about Black history. Hmm. Like, until you get older and you have to research it yourself.
Hmm.
I feel like that's just the way it is with Black history. You're not going to learn about it in schools. They're going to teach you the typical Martin Luther King, you know, Malcolm X. They don't even teach Malcolm X. They teach you what they want you to know. But nothing that makes you like proud to be from mm-hmm. Roanoke or anything like that. Like that stuff that your mom and grandmother and aunts and things like that you have to find.
Mm.
But this, I mean, knowing this, and I drive past this house every day, a couple of times a day, to know that's a landmark now, and that's some pride that I can take in, you know, even the courthouse, that's huge. That's not small at all. So I hope that maybe in schools they do, share this for for some history, because that's not minor at all.
Yeah, and it's for those that are interested, he was a major player in the Brown versus Board mm-hmm. of Education case mm-hmm. and was involved in many other educational injustice cases. It's probably not the best way to say that, but helped make sure that African-American teachers were paid appropriately, mm-hmm. helped make sure that there was a lot of stuff that went the way that it should. And amazingly, he just passed away in 2007 at the age of 100 and was practicing law until he was 91 years old,
which
might deserve recognition mm-hmm. even on its own regard for being able to
something.
Do that.
Yeah, this story will make its way into the newsletter so everybody can read about the marker, the historical marker, and also just can get a reminder to look into this fantastic human who lived a very long and illustrious life.
Absolutely. Meanwhile
in Roanoke.
Meanwhile in perhaps one of these stories that is very Roanoke and yet we may not always want to admit it. There are apparently some runaway horses just running around on Mill Mountain. And
you know, I love that this stuff still makes the news because it does make you feel like, oh, yeah, we still live in a small town. I love this. These couple of horses. It just reminds me when you see a dog in the street and you're like, oh, does it have a collar on? Like, these horses, nobody knew who they were. And they were on top of Mill Mountain.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine just like driving up Mill Mountain and there's a random horse with nobody on it wandering around? It's almost terrifying.
They found their home, right?
They did find their home, yeah. Yes.
So the horses are fine. I saw a story on Facebook. Somebody wrote that they found a pig up on Mill Mountain recently and, you know, caught it and it found its home too or something like that. But people,
it's crazy because the story is like literally two sentences.
Yeah.
We were commenting that Matt Chittum, who reported on this for the Roanoke Times, very clearly wanted to write about this, even if he didn't have very much information about it. So thank you for sharing, Matt.
Yes,
We share your fascination with this story.
It looks like the horses are trying to visit the zoo, apparently.
Fun.
They're cute, man.
You know, growing up in Charlottesville, there was always a bit of fascination with the Roanoke Zoo. I don't know what it was, but it existed. And I distinctly remember a story, and I have no, this is one of those childhood stories, I have no idea if it was real or not, but about a monkey that escaped from the Roanoke Zoo and lived on the side of Mill Mountain for like 2 months before they were able to find and recapture it, which is just amazing. And so I'm imagining a menagerie of different animals at this point living on the side of Mill Mountain. If you have found any interesting animals on the side of Mill Mountain, we would like to know about it. Get in touch with us at the Roanoke Weekly. Well, after that slightly whimsical story, we're brought to the reality of fiscal responsibility and higher education with the fact that Farham College nearby is having to tighten their belts. It's pretty substantial shortfall that they have in the several million dollar range. They look like they have a pretty good plan to take care of it. Small private schools are struggling in the higher education space.
Yeah, this is not the first time we've seen this kind of story about local colleges and universities being short in their budget or having a deficit. But yeah, their plan, they line it out in this article. It seems pretty responsible and, you know, unfortunate that they have to do it, but they're making some adjustments.
So if you just applied for a job at Farham, you might not be hearing back on that, just FYI.
Wow.
Yeah, that's part of the plan is making sure that open positions need to be filled rather than filling them just for filling them's sake.
So if you applied for that new position of underwater basket weaving professor, you may not get a call back on that.
Works out over there.
Absolutely. But I want to do a quick follow-up on two stories that we've kind of followed from early on. One being that we have a new county board of supervisors member. David Radford was appointed to be the next representative for the Windsor Hill District. Sorry, Jeff, that you didn't get chosen, but, you know, this gentleman
sounds like
he knows what he may be doing, although he's just going to serve until next year until there's a special election. So There's that. And then as the other bit of an update, we have the low-profile doc that we had mentioned, I think, a couple times in the pack. His pass has now officially been installed at Carvin's Cove.
Yeah, Carvin's Cove, new low-profile doc, which makes things like putting little boats in the water really easy, you know, kayaks, canoes, et cetera. It's a dock that sits right on the water. So they had their grand opening this past weekend. And it's very exciting. It just increases our ability to get out and do things in our beautiful outdoors. And it was this was a very grassroots effort, right, to do this low profile dock. So all that were involved, congratulations. This is great for everybody. Thank you.
Yeah, I will note that this is paving the way for a new rowing club that is coming to town. So if you're interested in being part of a rowing club, which is great exercise, do a little Googling. I'm sure
we use the rower at the Y.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So now you can get out on the water.
I should probably try out for that team.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, there's big catfish that'll eat you if you fall in at Carvin's Cove.
For real?
I have no idea. Probably, but.
Catfish eat
probably people? Not. Let's not say probably. I don't think catfish eat people. Yeah, and I don't think they're I think they're saltwater fish, right?
No, catfish are.
Oh, I don't know anything about fish, but I don't think
they tend to live
people.
In moving water more. But,
all right, let's move away from this topic.
Catfish have been known to eat people, but just to be.
Really?
Well, not so much eat as they will drown you and then nibble on you.
Because they do bite.
Oh.
Yeah, they don't have teeth necessarily, but they have like sandpaper that can grip you.
Because that's how people catch them. They put their hands in the hole.
Oh.
Pull them out.
Yeah.
I did know that much, but I didn't know they eat people.
I forget what that's called, like jigging or
gigging,
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked it up.
Which is apparently a lot more intense than you think. Like you have to submerge your entire body and stuff.
There's TV shows about this now, just about this. Like, what do they call it? Like swamp fishing or something? Mm-hmm. Anyway. So
I'm going to give a shout out to River Monsters.
River Monsters, that's the show.
Program.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's
it will make you scared to get in any. If you plan on joining the rowing team, I do not recommend watching River Monsters.
Carvin's Cove is perfectly safe and very chill, and don't worry about it. Get out there and row. Be active.
Get out there and row. Yeah. Xavier's looking for some competition. He thinks he can beat anybody. So.
I might. I've never
rowing is it's hard. Yeah, it's really good exercise.
I remember our rowing team at ODU used to run miles and miles, and they would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
We I studied abroad in London, and they have this big boat race between Oxford and Cambridge on the Thames right through the middle of London. And apparently their heart rate is above 200 beats a minute the entire time.
That's crazy.
They're doing it.
Yeah.
Which is,
if anybody's ever done an Orange Theory workout, rowing is a huge part of it. Because it gets your heart rate up. Anyway. Moving on.
I don't know if did either of you guys run into Joel Reichardt? Do you know who that is? So as someone who lives in Old Southwest, it was hard to get away from meeting Joel before she passed away a couple of years ago. And she was one of those folks that you both love and. At the same time, you were worried about what she was going to say to you every time she ran into you because there's a chance she was going to be mad at you about something. But great advocate for the Old Southwest neighborhood was a big reason why it is what it is today and why it's booming and in some ways the best diverse neighborhood in the city. And it's a large part to her kind of being unwilling to let... bad things happen in her neighborhood. So she had the road around Highland Park was named after her this past week in a dedication. And thankful to see someone that's really never saw much press or was a famous person in her own time get some recognition afterwards. So
yeah, I mean, it's not frequent that you hear about streets getting named after people anymore. No. So this is pretty cool.
So
that's
thank
great.
You, Joel.
Yeah, thank you.
I did not do a very good job of ordering these this week, so we're going to bounce back to the big picture stuff and talk about how Advance Auto is officially leaving the area with their headquarters at this point, but they're not taking any of the jobs with them, which kind of seems like this or feels like this happened about 5 years ago, and we're just now officially reporting it. But any thoughts on that, guys?
I guess that's good news.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it...
How are they... So wait, I'm confused. Sorry, I need to read the story and prepare for this better, but me asking questions probably that the listener would ask, how is that possible?
I think there's more than just one headquarters, though.
So they're moving their official headquarters, and that's the thing, is like we've officially been their headquarters, but I don't think they've been doing headquarter business out of Roanoke
in quite
a while.
So it's just mostly say like officially calling the headquarters Raleigh rather than
right.
Roanoke.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now the letters come from Raleigh, not instead of Roanoke. Mm.
Yeah, and so that the main stuff that they've had here, they have a bunch of their IT support folks here. They have some customer support folks here, and those it looks like will stay, although they've been threatening to leave for quite a while now themselves. So I think it's positive news for them to report that they're going to stick around for a little while. You can see here in 2014, the CEO moved to Raleigh, and they moved most of their corporate positions there at that point. So really, this was our sole Fortune 500 company in the Roanoke Valley. So it's kind of sad to see that go, but at the same time, it's not like we're losing something that...
Right, the damage is done. Yeah. It's been done. Yeah. So this is just calling it what it is. Got it. Okay, well... we'll get another one someday.
Yeah, Xavier's starting something. You know, we'll look forward to seeing that when we get on the Fortune 500 list. I did want to share this story. This my wife had the privilege to tour this school recently, and so I learned about this from that. But interestingly, there is a new school starting for at-risk youth in the area called the Academy. They start their first group now, and from what I hear, and this is more information that was reported on here, I believe, but that they're going to get, every kid gets a free ride, they're all at risk, and they're going to take 10 students every year, and they'll kind of go through the whole process together as that group of, or cohort of 10 students through all the way through school.
It sounds like they're making partnerships with other organizations focus on the entire family, not just the children in the school. So the families are actually nominated by organizations that work in this world, like Big Brothers Big Sisters and CHIP. Mm-hmm. And then looks like they're really addressing systemic family-wide holistic issues. So that's pretty cool.
I love it. Absolutely love it.
I have to say I have mixed feelings in some ways, not about the initiative itself. I think the initiative itself is great, but it does, like, this just is like, we have public education to do this. Why do we need a private institution to do what public education is supposed to do? It should be an indictment on our, not necessarily on Roanoke City schools, but on our entire, how we do schools in the state of Virginia and across the country, that this is needed to make this happen.
I think with the public schools, it's just, the agenda is not to do wraparound services for a family. It's like we have to get these testings and we have to get these kids to college. So the kids that are at risk, that live with their grandparents or come from a single parent home or have family incarcerated, they just get left behind because the system is not set up to support that. Like, it isn't built for that. So they just fall through the cracks. So if you have that school, that the academy, that is specifically designed to take this family and give the whole family support. At least, I mean, bringing in 10 kids a year, it may seem small, but it's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love it. I absolutely love it. I hate that it's labeled like at-risk youth. I hate that it's labeled like that, but I mean, it is what it is. It gives the kids that don't have a chance or that kind of get looked over, it gives them a chance.
Hopefully this will set an example possibly too for other, maybe even up to the level of public schooling, that this, you know, once it starts to work and there's actually data around it, maybe that'll kind of create a ripple effect and have other places start to look at the whole family, not just the symptom of the problem, but the actual, the actual issues. So high hopes.
Yeah. I mean, we all know at this point it takes a community to raise a child, and I hope that this provides that community for a few folks. And I hope it serves as an indictment and a call to action for us to all be more involved in doing this, whether that means being willing to pay more taxes to have better school systems or whatever it is. But something's got to change because school systems aren't working the way they're supposed to. And big shout out to these folks with the Academy for trying to do something different and trying to change that however they can. And speaking of school systems not working the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, look at that. Easy segue there.
And this, I have to confess to having mixed feelings about this one. Apparently, I'm really on my high horse about education this week. So this other story is that there's some Virginia lawmakers that are talking about it, and it looks likely that there's going to be a bond referendum to finance school construction across the state. To break that down, what that means is that the state is going to sell debt to raise $4 billion to revamp schools throughout the state.
Yeah, they're calling it school modernization, but the way that it's explained by the Franklin County senator is that really it's like they're fixing a huge problem. Modernizing necessarily, but the schools are outdated and he calls them crumbling. So it sounds like it's not just like adding smart boards. It's like probably more structural.
No, I mean, like in many cases, we're talking about like remediating black mold and bunch of horrible things that you wouldn't want your kid in that space.
Yeah.
Which again, just like, why can't we make this part of the budget? Why can't we? I love that they're doing this, but does it have to be a bond issue? Is there not some other way to do this? And can we also, let's talk about some salary raises for teachers at the same time. So,
yeah, I mean, you can pick apart like the.
I want all so the many. Money, all the money for the school.
I know. I mean, there should be certain.
I have
better
a kid
food.
Now. I want all the money for the school.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have kids, so. This is not as personal of an issue to me, but it is at the same time because it's our community. Right. Like these are our, you know, this is our next generation that is, anyway, okay. We're not going to be on our high horse. This is a huge problem. At least people are looking at fixing it and everybody should vote to fix it.
And in a small note also, because I think we all deserve to know this and Xavier brought this to my attention and I think everybody needs to know it now is that several, at least, area elementary schools don't have gyms. So let's make that part of fixing this modernization.
And if they have a gym, it's like a cafetorium or a gymatorium. Like it's split with a gym, and the music room is on the top. Or like Hurt Park has just got a gym. Like, and I'm sure that I know that there's other schools, which I think is crazy for kids to have to. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, they have to eat in their classroom because there's a gym class. Like, that's the type of stuff that's normal to them. It's just normal. So, I don't know.
We're angry this morning. Well, let's do our spotlights and share some good stuff.
Cheer ourselves up.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go with the pizza
that's
slice.
That's always a good place to start.
Right. You know? So we'll start with the pizza slice. It's the size of your face, at least the size of my face.
It's bigger than my face.
Benny Marconi's downtown Roanoke. Probably the biggest piece of pizza I've encountered.
Yeah, if you've been there before, you know they serve it on two plates because it's far too big for one plate.
Really cool spot though. Yeah. Very like locally themed. You can get your picture on there.
It's good vibe.
You really don't even have to get different types of pizza. I mean, just cheese or pepperoni is just good enough. Like the vibes are really good.
They serve beer.
Do they?
Yeah, you can buy beer there.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, they have a cooler. It's great. Just FYI.
And I was looking at the website. They have a lot of locations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all Virginia,
with different names,
right?
Though.
Yeah.
It's like Benny Marzano's, Benny's Delivery, Benny's.
I think they
Nicola's.
May have originated out of Blacksburg, but I'm not 100% sure on that. So.
But everything is Benny. Like,
yeah.
Charlotte, Fredericksburg, Charlottesville.
Smith, oh, not Lake, just Virginia.
Harrisonburg, okay. Radford, Roanoke, Mount Pleasant, Pittsburgh, Norfolk.
Pittsburgh, interesting.
Chapel Hill, Lynchburg, Charleston, Raleigh.
I'll have to tell my friends. That's really cool. Yeah, it's fun to order a pizza too, because the boxes are like they don't fit through a standard door.
You're not quite sure how you're going to fit it in your car to take it somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, they're fun for groups. And the staff's always been so friendly and like fun to work with. So
it's a great pizza if you're out and on a Saturday. And
we could dedicate an entire Roanoke Weekly episode to talking about the different pizza options in Roanoke, because we have some great ones. But Benny's is certainly
Benny's
quite good.
Is definitely one of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating conversation. Okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll do an annex episode where we discuss our favorite pizza sometime.
I have to just say, Xavier, I love how you mentioned encountering the size of the pizza, because it's almost like, you know, when you see it, if you don't know what you're expecting, it's like an animal has walked in and you're like, what is going on? I've encountered something.
It's not expensive at all either.
Oh, yeah. No, it's cheap.
Yeah.
High marks for Benny Marconi's in downtown Roanoke. And I love, this is a segue into the arts and culture bit, but I really love the painting of the cheetah or whatever the animal is in there. It's a really cool painting. Yeah.
My voice sounds really deep.
It's true. You both have very deep voices. For arts and culture this week, I wanted to spotlight, just in general, public art in Roanoke and the murals. It's a nice day outside today, and I was kind of thinking, like, if you're looking for something to do, there's always the option to go around town and check out all the new murals, the ones that have been around for a while, and the public art walk in downtown Roanoke at Elmwood Park, and the various other instances of public sculpture and other art in town. I didn't really know much about public art, but I just joined the Roanoke Arts Commission a few months ago, and I'm slowly learning, you know, public art is an indicator of economic success in a lot of ways, that when a community has the funding and the support to implement programs around public art, it means the city's doing well. Because it's not like essential, you know, it can be looked over if there are more important things to take care of. So it's nice to see that it's happening. And just as a heads up, you know, as a community, if we like the public art, it's great to support it and to check it out and tell people about it. And I personally love murals, so I like to point those out when I have people visit, because we've definitely seen an increase in that over the past few years. And like, your building has a mural on it, Xavier, and then the new mural downtown of the girl, like with the glass near Beamer's and Big Lick Brewing and all that, just makes this look, you know, like we're going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So shout out to public art murals and the muralists and the people making that happen.
We might have to create a Roanoke Weekly scavenger hunt for public art. That might be a little bit fun.
The Roanoke Arts Commission actually has one, so we should partner with them on that. Not recreate the wheel on that.
Let's not do that.
But I would love to see some sort of best murals in town.
I'm going to go ahead and challenge Humble Hustle and Treehouse Collaborative to offer a prize for someone who finishes the scavenger hunt.
I definitely have something for whoever finishes.
I'll put in the newsletter anything I can find about scavenger hunts or contests around public art, because I think there are a couple, but absolutely there should be more.
I think it's I wanted fun. To point out as well that there's some hidden public art in some ways too. So I know that the new Culinary Center opened recently over in Gainsborough. And if you go into the lobby of that building, there's some really fascinating historical photographs and, you know, maybe not traditional public art, but some really interesting things that are in that same vein. And, you know, to see those kind of things pop up as well are really fascinating.
Well, and that reminded me too, not to get off topic here, but there's a lot of really great historical architecture here, as Brad knows. I mean, as we all know, but Brad used to run a really cool Instagram account about architecture in Roanoke. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to look at, and we don't always need to be just looking at our phones or at the ground and look around. It's a very pretty city, and people try very hard to keep it that way and to make it interesting. So yeah, kudos for...
If you're downtown, look up.
Yeah.
There's almost something cool on every building if you look up.
Absolutely.
So, also, fun fact, if you want to hide something, put it above people's eye levels because they don't look up. Now you know. I'm about to do something that I never thought that I would do, and that is give the business spotlight of the week to Wells Fargo.
I was surprised. Do tell. What do you mean?
And I'm doing this because United Way released their list of most generous workforces in the Roanoke Valley, and Wells Fargo was top of that list. So, kudos for that.
So they do they must do a classic campaign within the workplace where people can elect to have, right? I mean, that's how that works. So yeah, that's great. That means that their employees are behind their giving, and that they have a very philanthropic workforce. So
well,
that's
I know
cool.
from my wife's work at Goodwill that they're also involved in that, and it's interesting. You know, Wells Fargo is kind of pulled back on a number of their area things, you know, pulled their branches out of the area and such. So to see them still being willing to donate, we've seen a number. I mean, Norfolk Southern, for instance, their foundation does not donate anything for the Roanoke Valley anymore. And so to see them, Wells Fargo, pulling back but still being willing to be involved in that way, I have to give them a shout out, which I did not expect to do. So kudos to you guys.
Yeah. Well, I'll include events in the newsletter, as always. We have gone on for longer than normal today, I think, so not going to draw it out anymore. But definitely check the newsletter for events. We'll put in all the cool stuff there and a couple of links to some of the things we discussed at length on the podcast. So, check it out.
And in the meantime, please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to this. It really helps people find us and also makes us feel warm and fuzzy inside. But in the meantime, check out Treehouse and Humble Hustle for your Christmas shopping or holiday shopping.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
And we will look forward to seeing you all next week.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.